Right, the topic today is what's called the Simone Haseda. The remarkable thing is that in all walks of Yiddishkeit, we find that we need, as far as I'm aware, everybody has the same simonim. And that is, well, I don't know, just repeat it, Kadesh Urchat, Kalpas Yachat, Magid Rotzo, Mutzi Matzo, Moror Koyach Shulchan Oyrech, Sofun Borech Halev Nirtzo. And as I said, whereas the Sfarim have very many different minhagim from the Ashkenazim, and similarly the Tzimonim, in this particular instance, as far as I'm aware, everyone has the same set of simonim. Now, I don't think that this goes back to the Mishnah or anything like that, like the Haggadah itself, where we all have more or less the same Haggadah. It's not so. The earliest recorded knowledge of these simonim goes back to the Rishonim, and some people are miyachas it to Rashi, whereas others say it comes from a Rishon on the Balitus is called Abshmuna Palaiza. But whichever way it is, it started with the Rishonim. And we all have these simonim in the Haggadahs. You should know that the Torah Shleimo, the Haggadah Shleimo, he catalogued 14 different simonim, 14 different types. So it is remarkable that there are 14 different listings, that we all have this same listing that we have here. Just to give you an example of one of the other listings, I've written it down on the note here. This other listing is written in an acrostic fashion, and it goes, Koinoch Yehome Mincho Shomo. It's translated, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will have pleasure from you at the time of the Seder. So at least it has a meaning. But that expression, Koinoch Yehome Mincho Shomo, represents 13 different apiulas, 13 different actions, which I've jotted down on the note, which is Kiddush, Netzilo, Karpas, then it's Yivtza, Haggadah, Netzilo, Hamotzi, Matzo, Moror, Koirach, Shmura, Mozon, and Halel. And in many ways, that simon, you would have heard, is far more logical than the simon that we've got. I've put down 20 questions, and I think I'll run through them quickly to show you what the problems are. Now, each of those problems can possibly be dealt with individually by a particular teretz, but really, when you've got so many questions, it would be neater if we can have one teretz which would run through the whole lot to give us an idea of what we're doing. Now, it's not sufficient simply to answer that the whole thing was just because of the meter and the rhyme and the rhythm. It was a poetic device. First of all, we know that even if that were so, and it is so, we find that in Tehillim, we find it in Davening, there's got to be a deeper significance also than just simple poetry, especially when something is makubal throughout Klal Yisrael. To give you a little example of this, everybody knows that we say L'chor Dodi. Now, L'chor Dodi was only introduced by the Rabbi Shlomo Alkibetz in Tzfas in the 17th century, so it's not very old, and yet it's spread like wildfire throughout Klal Yisrael. I don't think there's an area in Klal Yisrael that doesn't say L'chor Dodi. It starts Shomo v'Zocher b'Dibur Echod, and everybody asks, surely it should have been Zocher v'Shomo. Of course, Zocher was given first in the Dibros, and so why is Shomer having precedence over Zocher? It's just not right. So normally the answer is, everyone comes forward with it, of course, that Shlomo Alkibetz, his name was Shlomo, had to make the acrostic, so he had to pervert the psukim, and he put Shomer before Zocher in order to get Shlomo into the acrostic. If he put Zocher first, it wouldn't have been Shlomo, it would have been Zalmelo or something else, and that wouldn't have been any good. That's what people answer. That's just not good enough. Because to say that the whole thing has been done just because of an acrostic is really not a sufficient answer. And there are many answers as to why the Shomer occurs before the Zohar. Obviously, I haven't got time for that now. But you find that again and again in Piyutim, etc. Yes, it is true sometimes that the letter has to be inverted in order that it should fit in with either the acrostic or the meter or the rhyme. If that were so, it's an answer for Afikorsim. It's an answer which is not good enough for us. We know that once something is spread through Klal Yisrael, there's got to be a deeper significance to the event. But even were that to be true, there's something wrong with the rhyme here. If you look at it, Kadesh Urchat Kalpas Yachat Magid Rochtso doesn't fit in. It's because we say Magid Rochtso Mertzi Matzo to fit in with Matzo. Moro Kodach Shulchan Oyach Tzofen Borech Halel Nirtso. The correct meter would have been different. It would have been Kadesh Urchat Kalpas Yachat Magid Rochat Mertzi Matzo Moro Kodach Shulchan Oyach Tzofen Borech. Because you'd have had the group, the first three groups would have had to go the same, and then the middle one and the end one would have had to rhyme. That would have been correct according to the meter. And in fact, Rav Heidenheim, he says that we've got it wrong. He actually changes Rochtso and he calls the second one Rachatz in order that the meter should fit correctly. So you can't simply tell me it's a question of meter and rhyming, because it's wrong as we've got it. So let's have a look at the questions, and then we'll perhaps see what the whole approach should be. I've listed them down here. First of all, why do we have 16 words and 15 different pulos? In other words, Shulchan Aruch is a double word. It would have been quite simple to have called that Suda or modern, like the other one. But why do we have to have this double-barreled word Shulchan Aruch, where all the other 14 of the simonim are all single words? You don't normally make a double word where the only single one out of the lot. And there's a perfectly good word in its place. Secondly, why does it start off Kadesh rather than Kiddush? We're saying what we're doing. Now it's time for Kiddush, like Karpas, it's time for Karpas, it's time for the morrow. Here we're not saying Kiddush, we're saying Kadesh, it's an order. Kadesh means make Kiddush. Why do we need to make Kiddush? Simply say Kiddush. So why does it start off with Kadesh? Secondly, Urchatz. First of all, the word Urchatz is wrong if that is what it's meant. It should that Rechitza does not mean washing your hands in Hebrew. The word for washing your hands is netilas yadayim, no tail, netilas yadayim. There's a lot of explanations why it's netilas yadayim. There's a famous Rosh about it, because of the, you have to take a keli called a natlo, and some say it's because of vayenatlu. Whatever the reason is, the word for washing hands is netilas yadayim. Rechatz means have a bath. Lehit rachetz means to go and have a bath. Rechitza means wash yourself, clean yourself up. It does not mean washing your hands. And part of the proof is, if you take the other simonim, the one that I mentioned, Koinach, Kiddush first, Nun, Netilas Yadayim, it doesn't say Karach, it says Koinach, and Nun stands for Netila. So why have we changed it here to Rechatz? Secondly, Rechatz is again another order, it should have said Rechitza, or Netila. Thirdly, the question here is, why is this the only single one of all the simonim which has a Vav conjunctive before it? Kadesh Urchat Kalpasiach. None of the others have got a Vav attaching it to it. So you might turn around to me and say, well, it's part of the meter because you have to have a double syllable for each, and then in order to get the extra syllable, they have to put an U in it. I don't believe that's good enough. It could have said Kadesh Rachat instead of Ruchat. So to say Urchat is because of the meter is a very, very big cop-out. Now, I have actually seen in the sefer which we produced, actually, the Ephraim, a quoted by the Rebbe of Shlomo Zalman, that the possible answer would be that normally the Yekkers wash their hands before Kiddush, right? And then they make Kiddush. Any Yekkers here do that? Right, you wash first, then you make Kiddush. But on Pesach night you don't do that. Do you know why you don't do that on Pesach night? Because you don't know an Haggadah. Well, if you wash your hands and you make Kiddush, then you're going to make a motzi. You can't make a motzi because you've got the whole Haggadah in the middle, so you can't physically do it. So in order to accommodate the Yekkers, therefore, instead of saying Rechatz Kadesh, it's changed it to Kadesh Rechatz, but now it's Urchatz, because normally there would be Rechatz first. But now the Urchatz, and it follows on the Kadesh. That's an answer. Now,
the waiting later after Magid, not the Rechatz.
Sorry?
I understand that, but it's after Kiddush.
So since normally that you make it before Kiddush, here, make Kiddush and then wash. That's the pshat. Now, you can see what a doichek that is to say that's how the Vav got there, number one. Number two, it only works for a very small segment of society. I see we've got one out of about 20 or so, however many people are here who do it. So the majority clearly don't just say, how does it answer us? It might answer Shimon, but then the rest of us are all in trouble. So although I say you can find an individual answer for each problem with a chat, there's got to be something deeper running through it. Let's move on. The next one is, we've got Rechatz here and Rochatz later. Why have we got one called Rechatz and one called Rochatz? It's the same washing. It's true that the Kavon and the washing is one because of Tibul of Amashka and one's because it's just down for Amotzi. But basically it's the same Pe'ula, it's the same washing, and normally we'd call it Netilas Yadayim. So here we're calling it Rechatz the first time, Rochatz the second time. I've already mentioned that according to one sheet of Rav Heidenheim, in fact the second one should not be Rochatz at all, because it doesn't fit in with the meter. He says the second one should be Rachatz. But even according to him, you've got a problem. The first one is Rachatz, the second one is Rachatz. Why is the difference between Rachatz and Rachatz? Now, I do appreciate we're getting into deep grammar here, but there is a difference. Rachatz is an order, Rachatz is a noun, it's the washing. So even according to him, we have to see what the difference is. Then we come to Yachatz. Yachatz is actually an interesting word. We don't normally use a word like that, but it basically what it means, it's a form of chatzi, to cut something in half. And we're assuming now that we're breaking up the afikoimon, breaking up the middle mats into half, but it's not the right word. It's not a half. Everybody knows you break it into two bits and you try to make them a big bit and a small bit. So the two halves, although we call them halves in English, are not really halves. The two portions. And the larger, everyone says the larger half. After everyone laughs when said the larger half. How can you have a larger half? Shows that we're not valedictorious. You know, you can't have a larger half. But the fact of the matter, we do have a larger portion. But then the word yachat is the wrong word.
Normal. You can't cut just the middle.
Yeah, I understand. And as you say, you can answer the question. I'm not saying you can't answer the question. What I am saying is it needs a little bit more depth to understand why that particular word was chosen. There are other words for breaking things. Shvira. That would be a normal way for breaking something. Or even better, say afikreimon or tofun or something else, because you're going to hide it now. How do we have to talk about breaking something in half? Next. The next thing is actually quite a problem. After Yachas we come to Magid. Well, according to the order, it should have been Hagid, because we had order to make Kiddush and order to wash. Right, we do have Karpas, which is a state, that's true. But the Hagadah, we should now get on with the Hagadah. Let's say the Hagadah. Why is it saying Magid? It could have said Hagadah or Hagid, and Hagid would have fitted in beautifully with the meter. It's not a question of having to fit in. Hagadah might not have fitted in because you've got three syllables. But Hagid is not different from Magid. And Magid just means either the person now is telling, or Magid, one tells. It's neither an order of a verb, nor is it an adjective. So it somehow or other just doesn't seem to fit. Then we come to Roch, so we've already discussed the problems over this particular word. Roch is an unusual word. There's three possible grammatical explanations of the word Rochza. It can mean she has washed. Well, I'm quite sure it doesn't mean that here. Rochza could mean an order, please would you now wash, like Shomro, Nafshi, Shomro. But the likely explanation is it's a noun, a washing. Whichever one of those explanations is correct, it clearly it's clearly different from the first occasion. It's the wrong word, because it should have been the Tilas Yodayim, and altogether, why do we need to mention it? We're not mentioning in the Simonim those things which you have to do in any event. We don't say, in the Haggadah, for example, Bodhi Pi Adoma. Where's the Adoma for the Karpas? Where's the Bodhi Pi Gefen for the wine? In fact, there are Simonim, which are much longer than our Simonim, which do have Gefen, Kiddush. And then they've got Adoma and Karpas. We don't do that. We restrict ourselves to those things which are special Seder night events. So what's the special about washing your hands to make amotzi at the Seder night. You do that every meal. And that brings us to motzi. Why motzi? You didn't make gefen kiddush, so why motzi? Motzi, when you make, you eat bread, you make hamotzi, so why tell us motzi now? It's not necessary. And if it is necessary, for some reason, because let's say motzi is more choshu than the other brachas, let's say, it should have been hamotzi. Everybody knows the Gemara and brachas. There's the machlokas tanoim, they say motzi and hamotzi. And anyone says, anybody who says hamotzi, he's a Talmud Chochem. Anybody says a motzi is an Amoret. So we're all Amoratsim tonight, all of a sudden we've left out the hay of a hamotzi. Where's it gone? Motzi matzah. Then, why tell us about the meal? The meal is also something which is an ordinary Yom Tov or Shabbos meal. Why do we have to start telling us, now have your meal? Where's the significance for Seder night in the meal? And as I said before, if you're going to talk about the meal, call it a Suda. Call it Mazon, like the other simonim. If you look at the other simonim, the mem stands for Mazon. You don't have to have a whole Shulchan Aruch. And if you are for some reason going to call it the Shulchan Aruch, everybody knows the Shulchan Aruch, why do we call it Shulchan Aruch? Is it just because of the mitzvah? Just because it rhymes better? We're going to falsify the meaning, Shulchan Aruch. What's Shulchan Aruch? Preparing the Shulchan. It shouldn't say Shulchan Aruch. Vita, there are a lot of things missing. We've already mentioned the Geffen, we mentioned the Adama, but where's the Charoisus? You know, one of the best parts of the Seder is the charosis. If your wife makes it properly and you know the proper ingredients, and the charosis has tremendous significance. Tosfos in Pesachim talks about the whole of Shashir was taken out for the charosis. It's a tremendous Indian, and nowhere do we mention it. By the same token, we don't mention their Seder. If you don't do a Seder, you're not yet to the mitzvah altogether in the olden days. Nowadays, right, maybe it'd be the Eved. But the Chachima, you certainly have got to have those shilas. If you ate the matzah without the Seder, have you got to eat the matzah over again or not? What's the din, etc. So, a Seder is a very important thing. It's part of the Banishtan. So, where's a Seder mentioned? Why are these things left out? Next. Well, what about the Arba Kosis? One of the Yesodus of the whole of the Seder, the Arba Kosis, nowhere they're mentioned. Doesn't tell us about the Arba Kosis anywhere. Right, we've got Kiddush and we've got Birkas HaMazon, but not the actual Kos, and the Kos HaShegi Olalu, and the Kos of Nitzah, not mentioned. Find the questions, if you look at the list, I've got, said here, why is the Afikoman now called Tzafun, rather than the other mnemonic calls it Shomur. If you look at the other one, Yekonim Cho Shomo, Shin stands for Shomur. We call it Tzafun. Why you call it Tzafun? It couldn't be called the Afikoman because it wouldn't fit in with the Ram and the Nith. That would be a bit much. You can't have a quadrisyllabic word where a bisyllabic word would be good enough. It would fit. Okay, that maybe we can put up with that. But in some sense, Tzafun, something like Shomur would have been a much more appropriate word. Then we come to Birchas HaMazon. We call it Borech. In fact, according to the other Nusach, it's called Mem for Mazon, because it's Birchas HaMazon. It would be more appropriate to say now Mazon, or Brocha, or Birchas HaMazon. Why Borech? It's an order again. We're going back to orders. We're giving up order. We had Kaddish at the beginning, and now we had all sorts of nouns, Karpas, and we have Magid, and we have Motzi, and that's and all of a sudden we're getting orders again, Borech. And finally, is this a final question? Yeah, this was just to make the 20 questions up, actually. why do we say Moror when the Torah calls it Mororim? Moror, that's really a separate question of its own. We do call it Moror throughout the Seder. Though I must tell you, I raised this question in school once, and they had a Tamani boy in the class. He puts his hands up and says, "Please, sir, we say Moroyim." And I looked at him and said, "That's got to come from the Rambam, because Tamanim goes out." And I looked up in the Nusach of the Haggadah of the Rambam, and Taka, the Rambam actually says Moroyim. And that's where the Tamanim obviously get it from. We've probably got it, I won't say we've got it wrong. There's a reason why we say Moroyim. But, okay, I mentioned that as a sort of final throwing. Now let's get back now to the problems. You can see from what we said already, there's Dvorim Bagoy. It's not just a posh or Zach. Yes, each one of these questions you can come with some alumdish answer and explain why it should be. There's got to be a thread, however, running through the whole lot. And I believe that the following is the pshat. why is it that we always start off in the Seder by saying these simanim? Let me just get on with what you've got to do. Let's do it. Now, some people will say, well, it's to keep us posted as to where we're up to. And therefore, many people have the minhag that before they do the particular pula, they say the next one in the list. So we say Kaddish, and everyone sits down to make Kiddush, and then later on when it comes to Rochtzah, to wash, we'll actually say, now it's time for Rochtzah. My brother-in-law, however, and I've seen this elsewhere, whenever he comes to the next chalek of these particular simon, he won't just say that one. He'll say the whole simon again. Kadesh, Urchat, Karapat, Yachat, Magid, Rochtzah, Motzi, Matzah. There's a whole tune for it. And he'll say the whole ditty before each one, with special emphasis on the one he's got to do. Where does that come from? Why should you want to do it? It's not part of the Echad Miyodeh, where they repeat itself again and again. But the truth of the matter, there's a point to it. He's trying to bring home that this simon has got Dvorim in an historim, if there's a hidden message behind it. And I think the message is this. When you come home for Seder night, you shouldn't think this is just a series of actions, mitzvahs of say, very important mitzvahs of say, just a series of unconnected actions or a series of actions which relate to Sipuritism and Trayim Haggadah. There's more to it. Tonight at Seder night is a night on which you've got to go lifnim mishuras hadin. We want to elevate ourselves. This is the night when we were made into Klal Yisrael. This is the night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted us and we accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've got to go that extra mile. Therefore, we've got to sanctify ourselves and raise ourselves to a higher madrega. That's inherent in everything we do in the Seder night. Now, if you look at the simanim again in that light, all the questions fall into place. We start off coming home. We don't think we're just going to make kiddush like Shabbos or Yom Tov. Yes, kiddush is important, but tonight, Kaddish! Make sure you sanctify yourself, not only in kiddush. Raise your level. Raise your spirituality tonight. Kaddish! And in order to show that's what we mean, Urchat! No, it's not just an ordinary Kiddush. This is a Kaddish which is going to cleanse ourselves. Not just Netilas Yadayim, that would have been Netoy. And it's Rechat. Rechat means wash yourself, remove all your spiritual impurity. If you look at the Parshas Kisiso, it's talking about the Kiyor, when the Kohenim made there, Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, there it says they should use it L'Rochta. It's got to be for washing. But the washing which the Kayanim did was a Hachona for the Mizbeach, was a Hachona for the Kodesh Kodoshim, for the Mizbeach and the Avodah. We, on Pesach night, are making ourselves a Hachona for the Avodah. It's actually a fantastic thing, when I had a shiur, remember earlier in the week, about Chometz. Chometz never went on the Mizbeach under any circumstances, even those two korbanos which you could bring in Chometz, you brought but didn't go on to the Mizbeach. Chometz never reached the Mizbeach. The whole of Pesach, no Chometz, exactly like the Mizbeach. Similarly, throughout Pesach we will be emphasizing the number four again and again, four bonim, the four kushes, the four mitzvahs. Everything on Pesach seems to run around the number four, and that's exactly the same as the Mizbeach. Everything in the Mizbeach was four kronos, four sides, or ribua, and similarly with regard to the whole of the Mishkan is built on the number four. You see a connection between Pesach and the Mizbeach. On Pesach we've got to do an Avodah which will raise our status, raise our spiritual level to a much higher degree. That explains why it's Kadesh, Urchat, and explains why it's Rechat. Now, the reason why that's a Rechat is in order there, in brief, is because this Tibul B'mashke, during the rest of the year, many people are not makpid about it. It's a Chumrah B'alma to wash on Tibul B'peiros. Yes, many people do it. We're getting ready for the Beis HaMikdash. But on Pesach night, we're saying we're raising our status. We're going to be a higher level than the rest of the year, and we're going to wash even on something where the rest of the time may not have been so essential to wash. We wash without the bracha, because you can't make a bracha on something which is a chumma ba'alma. But the fact of the matter is, we do that at the beginning of the Seder, partly to show the two tibulim, but partly because we want to show, now tonight, we are going to raise our level to a higher madrega, and we start that at the beginning of the Seder, and that's why it's Kadesh Urechatz. Move on. Once we get to Kadesh Urechatz, We come to Karpas. Well, Karpas has got a lot of significance in itself, but I want to go into the Yachatz. The reason that word was chosen, the Mephoshim explain, is Yachatz means breaking up. As we find in the Mishkan, the Amos of the Oren were all broken, and the reason is we should never be Balei Gai, but we should always be work with Hachnor. We shouldn't think that now that we're reaching this higher Madrega on Pesach, we're at a higher spiritual level, all of a sudden we're Balei Gai, but we're very important. No. Remember the beginning of the Seder, Yachatz. To break the matzah, but you should remember, just like a korban, when you brought a korban, you've got to think of it as if you are the matzah of yourself as the korban, transfer the shchita to yourself and the zrika to yourself. So also here, when you're breaking the matzah, you break it in such a way that you're breaking your own yetzirah, etc. And that's why the word yachatz was specially chosen for that purpose. Then we come to magid rather than haggadah, because it is no longer necessary to give us an order. The order we've already had is Yachatz. At this stage, we're not ordering, we're saying everything we're now doing is part of Haggadah. The Magid is really all being part of the Haggadah, and it didn't want to say Magid, Haggadah, thou tell. It's not now. Magid is the whole evening is an inyan of continuance, and therefore it changes from the imperative to the Magid. Rochza we've already mentioned before. There's a two. There's a rachat in the first case was in order to clean up. Now, as we come to the meal, we change it from an order to a rochza. Really, it's now a time when we should be getting ready to eat the meal. But having done all the haggadah and having had all the preliminaries of the kiddush and the rachat and the yachat, we're now ready to have a meal. But this is not going to be an ordinary meal, like an ordinary Yom Tov or Shabbos meal. This is going to be, maybe other than the Yom Tov Shabbos should also be like that. But tonight we're going to say, this is a meal where we're cleansed. This is a meal where we've reached the Madrega, much higher Madrega. We have to eat, but we're going to eat L'Shem Shomayim. We're going to eat with a higher spiritual level. And that's why this Rochza is not an order, because you don't need an order for this day. Of course you've got to do it. The earlier on we had to have an order to do it because it's something you wouldn't have otherwise done. Here we don't need an order, it's the continuing event. And therefore it is left as it is. Some say that the hay represents other things, some say the hay represents the five mitzvahs which relate to Tilas Yadayim, there's five aspects in Tilas Yadayim, and some say the hay represents Hashem. You should bring Hashem into this particular meal, and therefore not just indulge yourself. Now we're going to talk about football, now we're going to talk about the share market. No, we're still busy with Sipurit Yisrael during the meal itself without having to have the Haggadah to force us to do it. You can be Mekadish the meal, and that brings us to Motzi Matzah. It's not Hamotzi. Everybody knows you've got to make Hamotzi. The idea is Motzi, bring out the idea of the matzah. That's why it's changed from hamotzi. It's true you could answer that the motzi represents one of them to the three matzahs, and that's a different matzah than the other one. Okay, that's a test. But isn't it much nicer to say that they took the hay off hamotzi to teach us dav, that it's not the bracha that we're talking about here. It's the motzi matzah. Bring out all the yesoidas that the matzah has to teach us. The matzah teaches you achnor. It teaches you zrizus. All the inyon in which matzah come, motzi matzah, bring it out. That's what the pshat is. Motzi matzah. Now is the time. In fact, in many nuschot, it's not motzi and matzah separately. They put motzi matzah as one simon. I've seen that done in places. Motzi matzah, you'll find. Bring out the inyon of the matzah. And that brings us now to Shulchan Oreich. Because tonight, it's not an inyon simply of having a good meal, a suda, a mazon. No. It's the union of having the shulchan. The shulchan represents the mizbeach. The shulchan is thought to be special. And it's not an aruch, not something which has been prepared from before Yom Tov. No. Shulchan oirech, prepare it now! Oirech, now is the time to be, physically and spiritually. It's important that the women should prepare the meal on the spot. That it shouldn't go out just beforehand, when the main part of the Haggadah, the main part of the Haggadah is the Pesach Matzah Mavur, Son Hetzmisham, and I've often seen in the past that the women suddenly say, oh, we're getting near the Seder now, we've had to go and get the meal ready. They're missing the main part of the Seder, is that part, the Halev, the Son Hetzmisham, the Pesach Matzah Mavur. Don't let the women go out at that stage. Wait until you've said Asher Golan, and then they can go Shulchan Oireh, they can then start preparing the Shulchan. But there's a spiritual dimension to it. Oireich, and that's why it's duplicated. Shulchan Oireich. Now is the time to raise the level. Finally, Tafun is the same point. It could have said Shmura, it could have said Afikam, but it says Tafun. Shulchan Oireich Tafun. Bring out the hidden secrets. You don't know how many sages are covered in the Haggadah. But not only in Haggadah, the sages in the meal itself. If you have the meal properly, you can bring out the hidden secrets. Shulchan Oireich Tafun. And then, therefore, we come to Borech as a command. Now, if you've done your job properly, Borech, you can really get the real bracha. Now it's gone back to being a command. Borech, Hale, Nitzah. I hope that Mr. Hashem will all raise the level of the Sage this year and we'll reach the Borech, Hale, Nitzah.